today, brushing them back with Kobe White. Kobe, how you doing today, brother?
Man, I'm doing great. Fantastic.
All right, man. We're gonna kick off the show with the theme song. As soon as it kicks off, Kobe's going to give you all a quick update, just 45 seconds to a minute, just to how he's doing with his recovery. And then we're going to bring on our expert guest, and today we're going to talk about NIL.
Swinging strike three. He struck out. A really impressive bottom of the eighth inning for right-hander Colby White.
You know, you hear kids talk about these guys that play at this stage and stuff, and every kid wants to, and that's kind of molded me into being able to succeed at this level. Spencer said, "Colby, you just got drafted in the sixth round." And I thought he was joking. Then I started thinking about how hard I worked just to get here and just to be able to pitch here. And then thinking about that, I started crying a little bit. Just when I get in, I know I got three outs to get. It's me versus whoever steps in the box. They're going to catch hell for three outs.
All right, everybody, we're back today. Hey, Kobe, while I'm getting my notes together, why don't you give everybody, I know the people that are following us closely, know that you were starting a soft toss the other day from the rehab of the injury. Why don't you give them a quick update?
Yeah, so start off with, you gotta crawl before you can walk, and then walk before you can jog, and then jog before you can run. So I'm at the very light stages of tossing right now. We're doing it's called stock and rows. Essentially, I'm just putting a baseball in a piece of fabric that doesn't allow me to fully let go of the ball. It supposedly puts less stress on the arm, and it doesn't have you trying to push the limits too much. But I started out, I believe it was Tuesday and Thursday, and I did 25 throws each. This upcoming Tuesday, I'll make my official throws at a distance, so I'm looking forward to that.
You hear that, guys? He's coming back. He's going to come back throwing a hundy. All right, so you know what would really be nice if you were out with the injury right now and you weren't pro status, if you were still amateur status, you'd have your three or four NIL deals lined up.
Yeah, that'd be nice. That'd be a dream.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about today, guys. NIL. I know there's a lot of myths and misconceptions about it. We're bringing on an expert today. Now, for those of you that don't know NIL, what that it stands for, name, image, and likeness. The origin of the whole NIL odyssey started back in the late 2000s. Former UCLA basketball player Ed O'Bannon and 19 other players decided that they were going to sue the NCAA because they were trying to get compensation or revenue associated with their name, image, and likeness, because back then the video games were starting to pop off, and videos and the broadcast of the telecast, they were making piles of money on them, and they wanted their piece of the pie. So, what is an NIL agreement? Here's the layman's definition. An NIL agreement is essentially a contract set in place for the student athlete to earn fair compensation for their time and effort to be able to market their likeness. NIL agreement could also be an endorsement deal with either a local or a national, at the local or national level. So, since Kobe's already a pro, and he's missed out on this, but he knows plenty of young men and young women that are younger than him that need this assistance with the NIL deals, we decided to seek out an expert. And we found that expert in Ms. Karen Koger. Karen, how you doing today?
Doing good. It's
Corinne
William.
I'm sorry. I knew I was gonna screw it up. I'm from the deep south. We struggle to speak English, they tell us so. So you are an attorney that also you specialize in NIL deals or the NIL agreement components. So we were trying to figure out a way, the best way for you to explain to not just the athlete looking for help, but for essentially everybody, parents and grandparents and stuff like that, to have the best interest of their child in mind. If, let's say, for example, see, Kobe had a situation where when he was drafted, we were right in the middle of COVID. He knew that his amateur status, would be affected because of COVID, because of the limitations of COVID. So he opted to go the professional route. But let's just say in a what-if world, Kobe decided otherwise. And so Kobe, walk into her office with her and kind of lay out to her what you're looking for in an NIL deal, and let's see how she would advise you.
Okay. So basically, the only thing I'd be looking for is to try to get my college degree, try to come close to this without a debt, you know? And, you know, a lot of guys, I guess, you hear stories of kids that take it way further than that, whether that's rumor or that's true or what the monetary value is on that. But it just seemed like to me, if a kid has a full scholarship, that's good enough, you know? I mean, how realistic is that to be able to get done?
Okay. It's actually very realistic. So most people hear about the big NIL deals. You know, you hear about, you know, Beats by Dre or, you know, the student athletes that are receiving cars to lease for a year, or they're getting paid, you know, $500,000, you know, by a collective. But if Kobe was to walk in, you know, aside from academics, because I always say with my student athletes, academics come first, your sport comes second, NIL comes somewhere in, you know, third, fourth, or fifth, depending on where you place, you know, God, family, and everything else that you have outside of it. So my question would be exactly what do you want to do, you know, with NIL? So for student athletes to have this opportunity to get paid on their name, image, and likeness for perhaps 4 to 5 years, we know most of these student athletes are not going to go pro. So do you want to set yourself up to make money just for that period of time? Do you want to catapult yourself into being the CEO of your own name, image, and likeness? Because I believe any student athlete who's getting paid for their name, image, and likeness, you are the CEO of your own brand. So that can turn into either, you know, you saving money to start your own business, or you capitalizing on these endorsements that you could potentially get right now and make a lot of money doing so. So with that being said, I went through, you know, the top deals that we hear about. Right now, the average student athlete, and they're usually talking about football, women's basketball, they're making about $1,500 to $3,000 a year on an NIL deal. But you have to keep in mind, it hasn't even been around for 14 months. So it's going to increase and it's going to blow up.
Do you see a lot of regulation coming with the NIL? Because, I mean, it's kind of wild, wild west right now.
Mm-hmm. So I do know that some individuals in this space have approached Congress and asked for their help with regulating NIL, but it doesn't seem like NIL is, you know, top on Congress's list, you know, right now. Some of the schools are trying to figure out what to do with it. The NCAA has been trying to crack down on collectives. And so, yes, there's definitely going to be some regulation in the future. We just don't know where it's going to come from.
So, Kobe, are we Kobe White 5 LLC at this point? Are you the CEO of your own NIL company? Has she talked you into that at this point?
Well, yeah, I mean, the thing I go to thinking about with baseball specifically is, you know, and I know this is a whole different ball game than NIL, but, you know, a lot of people know, obviously, the 11.7 and not having a full 30 scholarships or however many roster you had as compared to football and other sports. And to me, it doesn't seem like it's going to affect the game as much as, like, okay, football, they're already getting a full scholarship. You know, so it is this amount of money. Yeah, obviously they've earned it. It's their name or whatever. I'm not saying that. But to a baseball player, it might mean the world to them to be able to say, hey, I can go to this school that I wanted to go to because, hey, this NIL is going to fill the gap that I wouldn't have had. You know, that's just kind of what I'm thinking on is, like, you know, they're trying to – a lot of – that's kind of the stink behind it right now, I feel like, is people are saying, well, it's changing the game because people are getting players that they shouldn't have. Well, are they really? You know, if they'd have been a full scholarship in place, they probably would have gotten them anyway.
Right, and it does have a chance to something like that. I did do some of my research on the baseball scholarships because, as you guys know, baseball is not my number one sport, but it does. You know, so, for instance, I noticed that Clemson, one of their collectives specifically, spoke to baseball and softball. And they do want to be able to supplement that other 75% of scholarship money that the student athletes may not be receiving in those sports.
Is that, I mean, I got a quick question about who are you seeing a large number of high school athletes starting to get into it at this point? Are those larger deals, or is it mainly just college age kids at this point that are making the real money, the $3,000 plus?
Right. And when I say real, when we say real money, I'm thinking about the $100,000,
you know, right. Well, to be fair, $3,000 to a college kid, he'd feel like, or he or she feel like a millionaire.
Right.
No kids. Kobe said he wouldn't have lived off ramen noodles if it would have been $3,000 in back his day.
One more time for that question. I giggled and I lost my train of thought. I'm sorry.
You giggled and you lost your train of thought.
Yes.
Yeah, so you'll never make it on this show.
But I mean, for some students, you know, they are going to supplement their income. And so we talked about walking in and what it's like working with me. We'll sit down. We'll review your social media, because that's really what's driving a lot of this. Because the brands want to work with student athletes that are eventually going to be the face of the brand, and therefore your followers and supporters are going to buy, you know, what you are offering. We will talk about what your interests are outside of baseball. Are you, you know, maybe you're into another sport. Maybe you're into golfing. Maybe you like fishing. Maybe you like, I don't know, maybe you like boating. But these interests are going to drive the type of brands that either look for you because they see you doing this on your social media, or we can go out and look for them on your behalf. So that's one way to work with brands individually. But then I mentioned the collectives. So the collectives are really driving a lot of the money right now. So a collective is essentially a booster club put together for the support of the student athletes. So a lot of times it is alumni of the schools or business people that support the school, and they pool all their money together in an effort to be able to offer that to the student athletes. And that can be offered to a student athlete individually. Perhaps it's offered to the whole entire team. Some students have, some schools have deals in which the entire team got a deal from a collective, and you know, the female basketball team is now going to receive $23,000 a year each basketball player. I'm trying to remember the name of the school right now. It'll come to me before the end of the episode, but that school in particular, it's being offered to the football team and for the female basketball team. So just imagine the difference in your life that you know you're getting $23,000 this year in exchange for what you are going to deliver for the collective. And that's one thing that has to be made clear, because people are saying, oh, the student athletes are just given this money. They cannot do that. They cannot just do pay for play. They cannot be given the money just because they go to a particular school. They do have to provide a service in exchange. And that service could be a meet and greet with the fans. It could be autograph signings. It could be social media posts. There are many things that they can do in exchange. So that's where things get sticky. And this is where I think the regulation is going to eventually come in, like they did with the booster clubs, because now the NCAA does not want a student athlete being given $1 million just to attend Alabama. Mm.
I thought kids paid $1 million to go to Alabama, so okay.
I have a question. This is more, I guess, contract-wise. I don't know if this is like a so hypothetically, let's say somebody signs NIL and they're going to a certain college to play, let's just say football. Uh-huh. And let's say that athlete halfway through a semester quits, decides uh-huh. he doesn't want to play football anymore. Does that contract work to where that kid still gets that NIL money, or is it void once he steps away from the game?
Nope, the way the NIL contracts work are based upon the student athlete as an individual. It's not based upon them playing that sport, or if they get injured, or if they quit the team. So, or if you transfer to another school, your deal should follow with you, and I say should, because again, this is where the gray area comes in, and I think where they're going to try and regulate.
So it literally is name, image, and likeness. That's what these folks are paying for.
Right. Wow. And the thing is, so with name, image, and likeness, just to give, you know, some of your viewers more examples. So for name, it's your name on the back of the jersey. So, you know, my last name is Coger. I went to Hampton University, as you can see in the back. If I transfer from Hampton University and end up going to Ohio State, my name is going with me, you know, so that deal is going with me and my name. My image, obviously, is my picture, so my picture on posters, so whether it's for one team or the other. The likeness, it could be you in a video game. So you get traded on the field during pro ball, you might be traded during the video games in your college career, but no, the deal is supposed to attach to the individual and not to the school.
So since you're a lot closer, you're a lot closer to this NIL deal than we are. I mean, we read it in the news, but you deal with it every day. Are you seeing a lot of cases where, like, colleges and universities are giving, like, blowback to, I mean, because colleges and universities made millions of dollars off these young men and women, and now suddenly they're having to share, is the NIL community getting a lot of blowback from especially the more well-known colleges and universities?
Not necessarily. If anything, a lot of colleges and universities are encouraging it. Like, I know Ohio State said that they are going to need like $1.3 million for their student athletes through NIL deals. Because the money that is given to the student athlete through these sponsors and through the collective, in theory, is not taking away from the money that's given to the school. And with the school, most of their money comes through media rights and that type of revenue sharing, which the student athletes are not getting paid for, even though there's NIL. So I anticipate that that's going to come up soon. And William, when I told you I forgot my question earlier, you asked me whether high school athletes are getting big deals or the college athletes. All right, so right now, if you are a senior in high school, you do become eligible for NIL next year. So just like you're going out and you're, you know, talking about what school you intend to go to and you're signing your letters for next year, they would be eligible for the NIL deals. Now, there are only a certain handful of states that are allowing high school athletes to get NIL deals. So this is very important for people to, you know, especially seek counsel, because you want to make sure if you have a high school player, if you're a parent or a coach that's looking for a deal for one of your students, you have to make sure it's allowed in your state. And you also have to look at the rules for your state for that high school athlete, because then if you do not follow those rules, you could put yourself and your eligibility in question. So approximately 2 weeks ago, some students out in California, they did an NIL deal in the ad, and they were wearing their school's uniforms and colors, which were against the NIL rules. So we're watching to see what happens over there, because you don't want to jump out there and have your eligibility taken away from you or questioned just because you're trying to seek a deal, you know, when you're 16 or 17 years old.
So that violation, I mean, that's would that be something that would null and void a contract?
It can. I know that the ad was taken down. And so again, I don't feel like it was done on purpose. It's just rather people just being very excited and like I said, not seeking counsel, not, you know, knowing all of the rules that are involved with that. And especially those high school athletes, I'm sure they didn't know that they were doing anything wrong. So, you know, the adults around you, need to be responsible and need to seek counsel for you.
Well, now Kobe he's old now, but let's, you know, if not that long ago, he was a 16-year-old kid. Kobe, you wouldn't be terrified to try to enter into an NIL agreement at 16, 17 years old?
Well, looking back now, I definitely would have, but at 16, 17 years old, somebody would have told me, they would gave me money just for being me. And I said, you know, it's a good, you know, you get there and think about it. It's like, it's kind of scary to think that I would have had control to any amount of money at that kind of age. But those kids, you know, to them, that's, they think they're rich. And a lot of times, I guess some of them are, you know, these big players, they might, you know, they might be. But yeah, that's a scary and crazy. And I guess it's a good thought, too. You're making that much money at that age, man. Go ahead.
Right.
Well,
I mean, $20,000 a year, that's somebody's salary.
Before we started the actual live broadcast, Karen and I were talking, and I brought that up about age, about youth and inexperience with how to handle money. And she guaranteed me that anybody looking for an NIL deal contacts Coger Law Firm. She takes them under their wing. She nurtures them. So she's ready.
Absolutely.
Ms. Coger, what does the Y stand for?
Oh, it stands for Why Would You Not Use Me? And I love it, William. Thank you so much for that. And you know, to answer that question, the reason why you would use me, not only have I been practicing for 22 years, but prior to NIL, this was the space that I was working in. I was working with entrepreneurs to help them grow their businesses. I primarily work in the intellectual property space, so filing trademarks and copyrights for people and making sure that you're able to, number one, protect your copyrights and trademarks and so nobody else is making money off of them, but putting you in a position to, you know, sell and license your copyrights and trademarks, which is your name, image, and likeness. But in addition to that, my firm, we have partnered with an NIL company that essentially will run your back office. So no matter what NIL deals you have, because you could be Raekwon Smith, who has over 80 NIL deals. You know, Jack Betts, he's a D3 football player. He has multiple NIL deals. So we make sure we keep track of everything on the back end. All of your money is accounted for, but you can log into your portal at any time and see, you know, what is out there, what needs to be paid, who's being paid, and we can direct your money to wherever you want it to go. So if you want that money, you know, first of all, we're going to tell you put your money aside for your taxes, first and foremost. But if you want to direct your money towards your tuition, towards your car payment, towards your savings account, perhaps you want to send money to your mom's checking account, we can do all of that on the back end for you.
Yep, Coger. I'm go ahead and tell you, man. I'm glad that when you were 17 years old, you didn't get an NIL deal. Man, Coger would have seen. Coger would have seen that kind of money, as the youngsters would say. He would have been balling with it.
Mm-hmm. So, for instance, with the company that we work with, one of the examples they talk about is there was a student athlete who actually got onto the fishing circuit, and you know, made $350,000, you know, in prize money, and went out and bought himself a boat and did not save any money for taxes. So then mom and dad are taking out a loan to pay his taxes. So we don't want that to happen to anybody else.
Coby's shared a few horror stories with me about some of his guys that he's plays professionally with that, you know, due to certain circumstances that some taxes have piled up on them, and they didn't realize it until it was too late. And those are guys that are pros. They're not amateurs.
Exactly. And the other thing, too, is some of the states have mandated in their NIL laws that the schools or the student athletes get a certain amount of financial literacy education. And I would hope that any student athlete who is now coming into this type of, first of all, you need financial literacy, period, just as an adult, as a person.
They need to be teaching that in high school for sure.
Right. Right. But especially if you're in this opportunity to now make money that you would have not made before, and potentially have the chance to make a lot of money at it. Number one, you do need an accountant and or a CPA, but also you want to know what they are doing with your money. You know, you always hear horror stories about singers and artists, you know, who trusted the accountant and then all of a sudden their money was stolen, taxes weren't paid. So we want to make sure that the student athlete gets that type of education as well.
I had two quick questions. I think you answered both of my questions. Go ahead, Coby. I'll ask and just say, go ahead and ask what you got.
All right, this is kind of a simple one, and it might have already been answered, kind of. Is there a cap on the amount of dollars that can be awarded to a student athlete? So it could be anything from $1 to $10 million.
Yes, absolutely.
That's a pretty insane thought.
Well, yeah, I mean, the quarterback for Texas got hurt this past Saturday. He straight out of high school, he had a $1.5 million deal in place.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy money right there. That'll buy a lot of ramen noodles right there.
Right. Exactly. Well, and some of the students have been very sweet and generous in terms of, I know student athletes who have rallied for the entire team to get a deal with a particular company, or one student, you know, he rallied for his entire offensive line to get a deal. I know one student who went out and bought all the guys on the team $500 gift cards to Express so they could all get suits, you know, for when they travel for their games. So another question that people do ask frequently is, you know, what's going on in the locker room? You know, are people jealous? And I think that, you know, some of that can come up, but most of the student athletes have said that it has not affected, you know, their locker room, they're playing on the field. A lot of folks be happy for each other. And the other thing is too, you know, it is the wild, wild west. So this is completely open.
Better get it while you can get it, because the government is going to figure out and they're going to start regulating it.
Exactly. But I would say if you are a student athlete that is looking to get an NIL deal, the most important thing for you to do is to boost your social media, because that's what they're looking for. You know, and it's not even just how many followers you have. Some students say, well, I didn't even apply for the NIL deal because I didn't think I had enough followers. I'm like, let me see. Oh, you have 3,000 followers. You can still get a deal. You don't have to have 10,000 followers. You don't have to have 100,000 followers, because each brand and company is looking for something different. And because, you know, you guys talk baseball, I said, let me go do my baseball research. It was anticipated that brands who support baseball and softball players are probably going to be more local than national because of who the followers were. So it might be the local restaurant or the local car dealership or the local branch of a hotel, you know, as opposed to a national account. And so they're looking for, not necessarily do you have 100,000 followers that are following you across the country, but if you have 3,000, 5,000 followers here and you're engaging with them, and that's what they want to see. They want to see engagement when your followers follow you and comment and ask you questions. Are you engaging with them? Do they feel like they have a relationship with you so that they will continue to follow you? That is more important to a brand than just the number of followers you have. Because you can buy followers. You can buy bots to follow you.
Right.
You know, but that's not going to make a difference.
Well, I did have two questions. I you answered one of them during one of your answers earlier, I believe. All amateur athletics are covered under NIL? All levels of amateur athletics? Like, Olympians and all that stuff's covered?
Yes, it is. It all depends on what they're looking for. So NIL has been around forever. It just was not eligible to the NCAA student athletes before. So Colby, you're still eligible. So another thing that I do, another thing that I do. When
Colby just woke up. What?
Colby, we can talk about that offline, but another thing that I do when student athletes, you know, come to my office, I tell them, you don't have to wait for the brands to come to you. You can go to them. So there's what's called the NIL marketplace. It's kind of obtuse, but there are NIL dating sites out there where you as the athlete can go on and list yourself, attach all of your social media, and it will ask, are you a student athlete or are you a professional? LeBron is on these sites. He's not the one checking. His agent is doing that. But yeah, this platform was already in place for the professionals. It just now has opened up for the student athletes. So yeah, Colby, we need to talk.
We sure do.
All right, Colby. Look,
awesome. I knew. In a situation, like, you know, the brands that support whatever whatever apparatuses you're using for rehab, your guards, whatever that thing was you said that you threw the ball in and it was attached to your hand, like, that is a potential sponsor.
Okay.
There you go.
So there's markets everywhere. You don't even think of, really.
See, if me and Kobe would have talked about NIL, it would have taken about 3 minutes. But we knew if we brought an expert on, we'd get a good solid half hour. So I've learned a ton just in the last, because I can only go by what I'm hearing through the media, and everybody knows the media controls the narrative. So I'm glad to see I got you on here, because I've learned quite a bit about NIL at this point.
Wonderful, I'm glad.
Kobe, you got anything for her before we let her tell all of our folks how to follow her, how to find out about her?
Yeah, we just want to thank you for coming on, and thank you for what you're doing for student athletes. You're really helping them tremendously, and obviously giving them a better head start on life. You know, that's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. So I can be reached online at CogerLawFirm.com. So that's CogerLawFirm.com, as well as Coger Law Firm on Instagram. I can also be found on Twitter, TikTok, and Facebook under Corinne Coger ESQ.
You know she's in the loop. She's on TikTok, so.
I love TikTok.
Well, that's where it is now.
All right, Miss Coger, we can't thank you enough for being on the show. For our listeners and our viewers, can't thank you guys enough for tuning in, checking us out. I hope that you found something educational from this journey today, just like we did. And we're going to take y'all out today with a couple of ad spots that Kobe's got. And we'll see you guys next week.
Now a word from our sponsors.
Hey guys, Kobe here. As my journey continues, people tell me as I battle on the mound, it's really a game that's purely mental. But I understand that the physical well-being is equally important. Mike and Christy Johnson of our title sponsor, the clinic at Farmers Med Shop, in my hometown of Foxworth, Mississippi, echo the same sentiment. When you're looking for the answer for all your health needs, call or stop by and let Mike and his wonderful staff help you be the best you can be. Honesty, integrity, and hard work. These are characteristics that drive me on my journey. The same can be said for Hunter Forbes and his crew, so call or contact Forbes & Son Wood Products, LLC, in Sandy Hook, Mississippi, for all your timber harvesting needs.